Last February, a threat made on social media forced a lockdown across the DeKalb County School District. It was one of thousands of threats made to schools across the country. The threat in DeKalb was one of many that occurred in the days following the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida. The DeKalb incident did not end in tragedy, but it made school district officials think about their emergency protocols. Normal communication channels can easily be thrown out during an emergency situation as students and parents scramble to find out what's happening. So schools have to work twice as quickly to figure out what the social media threat means and convey that information accurately to the community. James Horn is the principal of DeKalb High School.
And usually what we'll have to do is actually just start going through kids and seeing who had it, who shared it, and start backtracking that way.
In 2017, there were over 3,000 threats of violence made to schools in the U.S. That was a 62% jump from the previous year. In the case of DeKalb, even if the threat is false, the emotional impact on the students and on the community is real. Amanda Minogue is a social worker at DeKalb High School.
And a situation comes and goes, we still have the lasting effects from students. Some kids report daily that they don't feel safe.
That's why counselors and social workers like Minogue spend the first few weeks of school just getting to know their students.
And that paves the way for later on down the year. So should a crisis come up, they can start to feel comfortable to seek me out as a social worker and seek out their counselors because they have that trust. They have that level of that foundation level, which is really important.
Some schools report that a majority of their disciplinary issues stem from social media. But the issues aren't limited to disciplinary action. Most of the problems it presents are social-emotional. That's true for younger students like middle schoolers as well.
I would say most of our students at a 6th through 8th grade school, so we're talking 11 through 14-year-olds, most of them, regardless of socioeconomic status, have a smartphone.
That is Clinton Rosette Middle School Principal Tim Vincent. He also spoke about how social media and technology can raise concerns outside of just cyberbullying. At his school, this is often as a result of DeKalb being a one-to-one school district, which means that every student has a Chromebook.
There's a system in which any Google search, any document that the student, you know, types in, any email that they send, it's essentially there are keywords and phrases that are kind of screened, and there's a lot of alerts there.
Vincent says that in these cases, what they find is more often a threat to themselves rather than a threat to others.
It's alarming, but at the same time, I'm because of the sheer number of that goes on. But it's also it's comforting to me that we have an immediate pipeline into almost like the frame of mind that the student is in at a given time, and we can support them.
Social worker Amanda Minogue also sees where social media can help bring issues to their attention.
We have a lot of kids come down here and refer their friends or say, you know, so-and-so posted something negative on social media, whether that be, you know, post on Facebook or Snapchat saying they might want to end their lives or they seem like they have suicidal tendencies or they're just worried about them.
Even at the high school level, with kids that have grown up on social media, it's difficult for them to fully grasp the potential impact of what they say online.
Just can't look into the future and go, well, I want to do XYZ for my career, and don't realize that maybe they're ruining that career when they're 14, 15, 16 years old.
That's Tim Carlson. He's the principal of Sycamore High School.
When you tell them this stuff is not going away, this may affect you 20, 30, 40 years from now, I think you get the big gulp from the kids. Like they start to understand, but they don't think they really understand the long-term consequences yet. They hear it, but I don't think they really understand that yet.
He says that it's gotten easier now that teachers and administrators can point to real-life examples of people who've run into trouble because of an old tweet or Snapchat. And in light of that, many schools, including Sycamore, have put an emphasis on creating a, quote, positive digital footprint.
How much stuff can we put on the internet that with our kid's name attached to it that is good, whether they produce it or whether we produce it? But when somebody does a Google search, hopefully they're finding good information about our kids, not negative information.
At DeKalb, Principal James Horn agrees.
At a high school level, we spend a lot of time talking with our students about their digital footprint, particularly students when they're looking for scholarships, when they're looking for admission to universities, when they're looking for jobs, and making sure that things that are out there on a digital platform can be accessed by future decision makers, and wanting to make sure that you present yourself in the right light.
And teachers are also continuing to integrate social media into the classroom experience. That's often through things like Twitter polls or Facebook groups. It can be effective to mix social media into the classroom discussions as well. That's according to DeKalb High School Principal James Horn.
You have to make it realistic for kids. You have to make sure that it's not just some sort of add-on that you're doing because you have a 0-hour class and kids have to sit there and you know, give some sort of canned lesson, that you make it authentic, that if you're studying government, that through your study of government, maybe you're looking at how people are treating each other behind the veil of Twitter and what you're able to say when you're in the comfort of your own home through your electronic device versus what you'd actually say to somebody if they're sitting in the room. Making students reflect on how they would feel in situations like that. But that's just good instruction.
He says that it's also just a good strategy for educators.
And anytime you can contextualize something to a student's prior experience, to a student's range of connection to how they experience the world, the more likely they are to kind of grasp the concept that you're getting at.
But even if that sounds like a fresh idea, it's still the same thing teachers have been trying to do for decades. I'm Peter Medlin.